B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Drive into the right corner. Smith jammed against the wall by Kulikov. Knocked down by Marchand. Back of the net, Smith kicks it over to the near side. And we've got Brad who jumped in on Marchand. And Marchand just hammering away with right hands while he's hit the deck. Pastrnak waiting back in his own zone. He grabs the puck, rushes over the line, cuts left into the far circle. Now to the middle, shoots, he scores! Pastrnak with a dish and then softly tapped it inside the near post. The Boston Bruins victorious over the New Jersey Devils 5-4. And the Bruins are now 4-1-1 in their last six.
We need to have everybody going if we're going to compete and be a contending team, which is what we want to do. But yeah, they're a huge part of our group. They played phenomenal tonight, really carried the play, you know, got stepped up in a big way. So it's great to see.
985 The Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That was a wild one last night. And you heard Brad Marchand after the game. We were talking about it early in the show. Brad Marchand should not have to be the guy to get physical and to inspire the team in that way. Those are for players like Trent Frederick. Billy Jaffe, what's the deal? Why does a player like Brad Marchand, someone of his value, it seems last night, have to be the one to spark the team physically?
Well, I think because he's a leader. It's in his DNA to get involved, to be a focal point. He always talked about wanting to be one of the go-to guys, and that's what a go-to guy does. But couldn't agree with you more, Fred. You don't want him having to be the one that physically puts himself in harm's way. He already does that enough with how much he has the puck on his stick. See, that's something that a lot of times people don't talk about, is how durable that guy is, considering how much he's got the puck on his stick. I mean, if you timed it in a game, an average game, he's the guy who's got it a ton, maybe more than anybody on this team. And therefore, he's already opening himself up to potential contact. And now he's not only opening himself to normal contact, but the fight and the hands, et cetera. And by the way, they're fortunate that the officials deemed it just a minor penalty. You know, he could have been serving 5 minutes in the box instead of 2 minutes in the box, you know, for that, we'll call it scrap with Jesper Bratt. But I'm with you, Freddie. You don't want him doing it. It's not just Frederick. He's one of the guys, but it's a bleed. It's, you know, it's you can look down the list. Even it's a defenseman, a Zaboral, a Jeremy Lozon, et cetera.
Yeah,
drag him into the scrap.
You've been around these guys. Is it difficult to tell a player who's having some success that you got to go out there and be more physical? I got to imagine it's not, you know, the most comfortable way to make a living.
But you're talking
how hard
about,
is that?
You're not telling a guy to go fight.
No.
You're telling him to go and get, you know, Wayne Simmonds said it best. I remember his quote a couple of years ago about Wayne Simmonds now, you know, a tough guy who played a power forward in the league a long time. So, you know, looks to drag people into the fight, literally or figuratively. The fights come to him because a lot of times he'll initiate that contact. Now, I'm not telling guys to run around looking for the fight, but on the other hand, look for the contact. But I'll use Anton Bleed as an example. He's a young kid. He's been in and out of the lineup a couple of years, Fred. You don't have to tell him a thing. Just get your backside involved. Get in there on the forecheck. That's all you're telling him. Make contact. That's not a hard thing to do. You're telling a kid. You're telling a youngster. Adam McQuaid said it to us. I remember doing an interview with him recently, Fred. And he said he realized it when he was in, you know, late in his junior's career, where he had never fought before, ever. It was his second or third year in juniors. But he said, I was having a bad game, and I realized that I have to do something to help my team out. The game's different now, but you have to do something still if you're not involved. You know, if you're not having a great game, get out there and get involved. It's not hard to tell a kid. You just say, go, get out there, and let's see you do something.
All right. That was one of the sloppiest games. We were talking about how just ridiculously sloppy, and Lozon in particular was just careless, obviously, last night. But I guess it's good news that the offense, for once, was able to cover up the defense's lapses, which is almost always the opposite this season. What did you see, or what are you seeing now? Is there anything evolving offensively, or was that just kind of a nice little flash in the pan?
Well, two things. Let me just comment on your make a comment on your Lozon comment. You're right; he did struggle. However, I'm going to take this as a positive, Rich. He came around in the third period, helping kill penalties, do things, and maybe this is that's a young. Remember, we talked to so at length early in the season about the young defense and how there's going to be mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't see a lot of mistakes out of this young defense, and now we're seeing some. And so I think that we've also got to. It's hard to be patient a little more than halfway through this short and regular season, but I do think we have to say there's going to be burps, there's going to be mistakes. You're going to deliver a couple of pizzas. Deal with it, and he did. So that's a great to me. I'm going to take
he
that
bounced
as a
back fine. Yeah, he did.
Well, that's what you. Like Fudo Shinzawa had tweeted something, and he's like, "Big mistake by Lozon. Let's see how the kid handles it."
And he handled it fine.
Yeah, right. And you got it. Hey, you got to have short term memory. Now, with regard to the offense, is it? I mean, look, I sure as heck hope it's not a blip. I mean, you're seeing multiple points out of Krejci. He's now, I believe, it's 8 points in the last five, all assists. Smith, three assists. In the game. You hope that that's some. You hope that the
defense. You didn't get Smith to get assists. You get Smith to pepper the goal.
I don't disagree, but at least, his shot from the right point was perfectly placed on net for a rebound for Charlie McAvoy, who went stealth coming in. So I'm going to find that, or at least try to take that as a good thing, too. The fact that the Bruins started to take a page actually out of what the Devils were doing and moving a little more and utilizing, defensemen even more to get involved is a good thing. Now you got to do it again. This is the odd thing, fellas. They seem to show up against the Pittsburghs and the Washingtons and the Phillies, obviously. And yet against the Devils, they've had a hard time. The Islanders, you can almost understand. I mean, the more I look at it is the more how you see the similar game style that the Islanders and the Devils play. It's no bones about it. We're not trying to be anything fancy. We know who we are type of hockey where we get it in. And we force the Bruins to defend below their goal line. And, especially the speed of the Devils gives the Bruins an issue. So hopefully the Bruins find their offense a bit and then they get ready to play these Penguins coming up in the next two games because we know how good the Penguins lately have been.
Billy, I'm trying to figure out what the ceiling for this team is, and it's really, really hard.
Join the crowd.
Well,
join
they're still wildly top heavy. I'd like to see Krejci score more than one goal every 25 or 30 games. That would be nice.
Yep.
I'd like the secondary scoring. I still don't know what the injuries are going to prove out on the back end, and I don't know what's wrong with Tuukka Rask, but the trade deadline's coming up, and Don Sweeney has to make a very, very big, possibly franchise altering decision. Because 2 weeks ago, it looked like he was going to take a big swing and he was all in and Cam Neely backed him up on that. Now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Let's not forget this too. One of the big trade targets were the Nashville Predators, right? A lot of talk, not just about Ekholm, but other players.
Right, sure.
Now Nashville's back in the playoffs. So you're losing a big potential trade partner there too. I don't think David Poile, their GM, is going to do much, if anything. I can't, look, you got to get a feel for the team, right? He talked about the vibe of this team, where it's going to be at. Wallach, you're right. This is right now it's not on pause. It's on a analysis type thing on this team. And with regard to, look, can Anders has been great lately. Can he keep it up? I personally, I've said it before on your show. I've said it on the podcast. We said on the Nesson. I'd still like to see Pastrnak with Krejci regularly and go with it for a couple of games and have Smith go with Bergeron and try, like they did last night in the third period, try to get some balance, see what this team looks like with a little different thing, because the first line has struggled. We saw frustration coming out of them late in that second period off that power play until Marchand scored that power play goal after he came out of the penalty box. So this team, I want to sit here and say I still believe in them. We all are questioning, though, the same thing, Johnny, is what are they? Because they've been very Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. they got to make a move, and he doesn't got the he doesn't have the time to see everyone get healthy.
There is a guy out on the waiver wire, Gostisbehere from Philadelphia, who would seem to fill a left shot defense. He's more offensive than defensive. Billy, should they take a swing at him?
Not at the money at the 4.5. I think he passes through waivers. I talked to a few people around the league. He's interesting. I did talk to somebody out of Philly who knows him well, and they thought that he will thrive in another environment, that it was time for him to move. I'm okay with them taking a chance, but I would try to get some of that contract, Johnny, taken, you know, some of that, like, let him pass through waivers and then see if you can get him on not pennies on the dollar, but money on off. I wouldn't, especially because he's got another year on his deal, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of money you got to consider.
All right, Billy Jaffe from Nesson. Going to be interesting. Hopefully, when we talk to you next week, we know more about the future plans of this team. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, fellas. Have a wonderful day.
All right. We appreciate it. And he's got his morning jolt, or look at me, I'm drinking coffee podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Morning Brew. Podcast that he does with the Razor. So that's going on as well. All right. So we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. The NFL just keeps getting luckier and luckier. The best thing that happened to the NFL is quarterback uncertainty. The idea that you could move a quarterback in the offseason, a great quarterback in the offseason, because I don't recall this, and we've been doing this, believe it or not, for a very long time, and I've obviously been a big NFL fan for my whole life that I can remember. I think 82 when I was 7 was the first time I realized that life was unfair when the Dolphins didn't cover their field for the AFC Championship game and let Richard Todd go out in the mud and A.J. Dewey intercepted him twice. But I don't recall this kind of speculation and constant focus on the NFL. And it's got to be because of quarterbacks. And, you know, the attention on the pro days of these kids, I don't really recall. However, they are talking themselves into circles because they are given topics. I see. Who is this year's Mitch Trubisky? And it's Zach Wilson. Who is this year's Jordan Love? Whoever. The answer was whoever Atlanta takes it for. They're this year's Jordan Love. They're the one that's not good enough. Well, what if the quarterback you like falls to 4? What if you love Fields and someone likes Trey Lance and someone likes Mac Jones more than him?
How about until about a year ago, people thought that Josh Allen was the Mitch Trubisky of his draft, and then all of a sudden Josh Allen popped, and now everyone's looking at him as one of the elite ones in the league. I mean, but you're right. This year, it's just because of the glut of good talent, if not great talent, that's coming out the quarterback position. I mean, I remember obviously the RG3 Andrew Luck year being a big one as far as who would you take first.
Yeah, but it was pretty much like a Trevor Lawrence situation. You knew they were going to take Andrew Luck, but the what's interesting, what makes sense to me, and this does make sense to me, and this affects the Patriots, is the word on Sam Darnold now is that teams look at him as either a reclamation project or a backup at best. And that means that if I'm the Jets, I'm not trading him because I'll wait until next season. And if you get an injury, then I'll, not the Patriots, but if you have an injury at quarterback and you desperately need someone to come in, well, maybe he's only worth a third or a fourth to you this offseason. But during the season, you lose your quarterback, all of a sudden he's worth a second to you.
Well, Fred, what team in the NFL is Sam Darnold an upgraded quarterback if you're not getting one of these draft picks?
That was my point all along, is I never understood why San Francisco would have been willing to switch out Garoppolo for Darnold. I mean, but San Francisco's record is unbelievable with Garoppolo playing quarterback, and it's terrible without him playing quarterback.
But the one thing about all of that is that you heard it after the Super Bowl, and you continue to hear it, is despite his record,
they blame him
as being the weak link Super Bowl.
I get it, but it's not Sam Darnold week.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not willing to just move on for him from Sam Darnold. I'm talking about Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Draft pick, I get it. And I know why they moved up to number three. That seems like a sound decision. But, yeah, I mean, the look around the league, and all of the bad teams, the truly bad teams that need a quarterback, they're in position to get one of these kids from the draft who's going to be fairly promising. And I don't think even Mac Jones I would start over Sam Darnold right now. Because just to see what he's got, to be able to put him out there, and maybe he'd be all right. Well, Sam Darnold, I don't know any team that would look at him as a starter that truly needs a quarterback.
The only reason would be is that you loved him in the draft. He's still 23 years old, and that you had graded him higher than you graded these kids in the draft, some of these kids in the draft. And obviously San Francisco didn't, or they would have traded for Sam Darnold, and they wouldn't have moved up to three.
This is going to sound weird, Fred, and I'm not saying this because I am all of a sudden becoming this Cam Newton guy. But I think that even with the Patriots, Sam Darnold would not be an upgrade from Cam Newton. Just because of what he's got with this team and what it would say to the rest of the players on this roster.
His physical skills are so far and away better than Cam Newton's. It's unbelievable.
You may be right, but I think that you want to talk about a complete demoralizer. Uh-oh. Bringing in
because
Sam
Cam's
Darnold.
Everybody's best buddy.
Yeah, because if you're going to bring in someone to replace Cam Newton, it's got to be someone who's good.
Well, no,
or
Darnold's
rookie.
Got 1 year left. No, Darnold's got 1 year left on his deal, and then there's a team option. If you bring Darnold in, you're not doing anything except saying he's better than Cam Newton.
Well, if you bring Darnold in, that's your plan. Like, that's your plan.
No,
then.
Your plan would be that he'd be a bridge and you'd see what you had. Your plan at quarterback with Cam Newton at quarterback is anything. Cam Newton's not an answer at all to your problems. And if I can bring Sam Darnold in and he only has a year at a reasonable salary at 23 years old, that's not saying anything other than I think he's better than Cam Newton.
I'm just talking about how the league is going to look
at Sam Darnold. No. I don't care what the...
If the Patriots will look at Sam Darnold and go, that to us is not an upgrade on Cam Newton,
they'd want Sam Darnold over Cam Newton.
Gigantic mistake. Yeah, the Jets
would never deal him.
That's the only reason Bill Belichick's not kicked the tires is because he knows...
Well, he might have kicked the tires. I don't know if he's kicked the tires.
Well, whatever. The Jets will price him way out. Okay,
trade Sam Darnold.
Give us your first round pick. And we're not trading him in the division. It's not happening.
They just wouldn't trade him to New England. But no, if I'm the Patriots, the Patriots have the worst quarterback situation in the league.
Of course, yeah. Darnold's an upgrade over Newton.
Yeah, I mean, anything.
I'm telling you, I don't think that Belichick would think so.
Okay, well, I could not disagree with you more. And
you think Belichick, if he had the chance, would
you can rephrase it a million times. Every time that you rephrase it, doesn't change the point. I mean, you're just rephrasing the same question. Yes,
because I think I'm confused by your answer.
Because Sam Darnold has 1,000 times more talent than Cam Newton does. 1,000 times more talent, and is 23 years old and was recently the number three pick in the draft. And I would much rather have him come in. And at least compete for a starting job with Cam
Newton. At this stage of Newton's career, the only reason he's on a roster, let alone the Patriots roster, is that he's willing to take no money.
And look at it this way. Would you rather have Stidham or Darnold? Because
I'd rather have Darnold.
So good. So I can have the two. I'd have the two of them compete. That's a much better quarterback situation than you have right now. So look at it that way. I could bring Darnold in and have Darnold and Cam compete. And if Cam wins, congratulations. Darnold's gone the next year. I don't owe him any money. But he's not making money, especially with the way they've been spending. No, I'd bring Darnold in 5 seconds. Is he necessarily your starting quarterback? Chances are 99% yes, but maybe not. I mean, maybe Bill pulls some shit. He'd eventually start. There's no way that he wouldn't eventually start, but maybe he doesn't start the season. But no, if they could get Sam Darnold, they would. That's the one team. Maybe Denver. But that's the thing is that I just... People are going to hang on to quarterbacks, and that's the thing with the Patriots is as many times you spin it around, and I hear the promo going into breaks about Zolak thinks they already have a deal in place. I don't think that's the case at all.
You mean for Garoppolo?
Yeah, I know. And then people are like, look, they're talking.
The talking at the pro day.
I see you and I disagree as far as Garoppolo being the starting quarterback if they draft a guy with their third pick. Like, that's there's no way. They're going to start the guy they drafted with their third pick. I don't think they would, because, once again, they think Garoppolo was the issue.
Yeah, but...
So why wouldn't you go ahead and start with a guy that you hope can break you to the next level?
But because
why continue with mediocrity?
Okay, but if they're not giving me a first-round pick, why wouldn't I want the quarterback battle in camp? And then again, I could always trade Garoppolo at the deadline. So why, I mean, there's something to be said with, okay, let's see what we have. We'll bring a guy in, and if he's not ready, we have the guy that we have, and then we can move him before the deadline.
And I would
we don't have to move in the offseason.
That pick would have to blow it in the preseason in order to have Garoppolo still be the starter. Because, I mean, in fairness, you could be right. He could show up and suck.
Deshaun Watson didn't start his first game. Deshaun Watson didn't start his first game in Houston. He started his second game. But he didn't start the first game.
What number was he drafted?
He was drafted in the first round. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, the team used their first round pick on a quarterback.
You give up all that capital for a number three pick to move all the way up there. And they gave up a ton. And
so
you don't think
Kansas
they're going to use them?
Kansas City did the same thing with Mahomes. And they had Alex Smith, who's a very similar quarterback probably to Jimmy Garoppolo. Is you know, low ceiling, high floor. What?
Oh, I'm sorry. This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I saw something from Geddy Lee here.
I saw this too. It's
okay.
The
Toronto Blue Jays have decided that they will no longer have a radio broadcast. They're just going to simulcast a TV broadcast on radio this year. Geddy Lee, baseball traditionalist, not happy. Not
Whoa,
happy.
Is that an all-time cheap move?
Not happy.
What do you think? These guys are making $10 million sitting there? Whoa, is that cheap.
They tossed the radio broadcast to the Blue Jays, who, by the way, are broadcasting from Dunedin, Florida for at least the first 2 months.
And I'll let you know, Toronto, no small market.
Yes.
Toronto, I believe, would be the fourth largest city in America.
Now, I would read this, but it would be better if you did it in the Geddy Lee voice, so maybe we should break, come back, and have you do it then.
Real quick, somebody said, so you're saying that simulcasting TV fails to capture the spirit of radio.
Invisible Airways, please crackle with life.
It's not my joke. I saw someone write that.
You have to read this. It wouldn't do it justice if I read it.
I wish I followed Geddy Lee on Twitter. I don't know how that's gotten past me.
Does he go, please buy the big book of bass?
No. But yes, Geddy Lee, season ticket holder for the Blue Jays.
Not happy.
Especially now. Is he on Rush the Band Twitter?
No. I think this is an Instagram post. I'm not sure.
Ew.
He made some big, long post that was not that. Yet.
At Jared Max. At Jared underscore Max on Twitter. And that's where it's
That was
that's
the Hobbit's.
I got it right here.
All right. So, what is it?
It says,
some of my most memorable baseball memories were not from sitting in the stands or watching the game on the tube, but rather listening to radio while reading the Necronomicon. I threw that part in there. Driving home from the... Okay, this is real. I'm not making this up. Driving home from the cottage, I heard Dave Stibes... Steve. Okay. Heartbreaking first one-hitter. There are nuances and descriptors that radio broadcasters share with audiences that are simply not the same as a cabal of TV announcers. No matter how good they be. It's a time-honored craft. I'm not making this up.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Just to show you I'm from Canada,
right,
where we add U's where they do not belong.
It is a time-honored craft, yes, that requires a special ability to bring to life what we at home simply cannot see. This is a bad and regrettable decision.
What's
Much
going on
like
in
when
Canada?
You guys tried to go grunge on the Counterparts album.
By the way, you can say the F word on the airwaves in Canada.
Oh,
on radio, CBC allows that. How much the rights to the Red Sox are? I mean, tens of millions of dollars.
Yes.
What's going on with the Blue Jays? They just have no interest in making money.
I think it has to do. It's got to be finances. It has to be. They can't afford. And I understand.
It's got to be like socialist.
But I mean,
Canadian
you
media.
See some NBA teams doing this. I think the Orlando Magic tossed their broadcast team also.
It's expensive. And the rights to the teams is expensive, yep. Relatively.
Oh yeah, there's no question.
I mean, they're not money making propositions. Like, I don't think the Celtics and Bruins broadcast make money. I think it's more the cachet of having the team. That's free money you're throwing away.
Yep.
And you're creating subdivisions between audio and video. Yeah. Are you playing Zaxxon, young man? Allow Neil Peart to put his hand on your shoulder. You are no longer alone. Let me guide you through the backs of cars, the basement bars. Are you cool or are you a cast out?
Mm-hmm. To that,
like radio.
I would just say...
This was regrettable.
Yeah, this. What is this?
Roll the boats, the reps.
We're getting older and really couldn't figure out how to appeal. It's a when you asked him about this, did he admit it was lame?
Yes, he did. He said they were experimenting and. So,
less studio where you could see the video for Tom Sawyer. With the rural Canadian winterscape. I just watched the video for... I was watching Family Guy, and they always reference Neil Peart. And I just watched the video for Tom Sawyer the other day.
I bought the vinyl of 2112. I put it on for 15 seconds and went, nope.
I actually did that the last month.
Yeah, sure.
The same reaction you did.
I'm like,
Temples of Syrinx, baby, let's go.
I'm not joking. I think I got 15 seconds into it, but realizing that was a bad idea.
I like albums that only have one song.
It's not hold up.
Like, where's Moving Pictures? Like, get me a real album, like with good songs.
I always contend if you brought home Moving Pictures, if you were a Rush fan, and you played that first side, you'd be like, oh my God. Can you imagine not knowing? Like before the internet and everything.
Oh,
and you brought home moving pictures and you like had no idea what was on it.
Tom Sawyer, Red Barchetta,
YYZ,
YYZ,
and the big hit. Oh God, not Spirit of Radio because that's.
Well, I said Tom Sawyer.
No, but the another hit. Oh God, what's on Moving Pictures? All right, give me 1 second.
Because now I got to find it. Now you're. Hey, let's see. All right, track listing. What do we got here? Here we go. Tom Sawyer, Red Barchetta. Oh, Limelight, which of course is just
all right. There you go.
So great.
Yeah, Limelight is one of their best songs.
Yeah, there's no question.
Limelight
no question.
Spirit of Radio.
Mm. Spirit of Radio is the best. That's not on that album, though.
No, it goes Tom Sawyer, Red Barchetta, YYZ, Limelight. That's what I contend. Now, you don't even have to turn over the album. There's no reason to go to side two.
No.
Because it has the camera eye, part one and part two. Witch Hunt, which is part three of Fear. Vital Signs. Mm. Neil Peart plays the drum, the timbals, the gong, the orchestra bells, the clock and spiel, the wind chimes, the belltree, the crotals, the cowbell, and the plywood.
Presto the other day. Presto, which is like...
Presto, I've created crap.
Presto's not bad. And you know what? Roll the Bones, the album, has a song called Ghost of a Chance on it that I would put in their top three Rush songs. Top three.
Presto, this is an album no one bought.
Except for me.
All right, what's going on, Rich? What are we going
to
talk about?
Nick Caserio finally talks the chaos in Houston when athletes do lots and lots and lots of drugs. And someone called Crash, the Godzilla versus King Kong reviews are in.
Yeah, he has got that mask on. He's loving life. He's got that tattoo as well. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Want to make a good morning even better?
Oh!
Now, you can listen to Toucher and Rich on the radio.com app.
You are locked in to the show.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Yes.
Stack it up again. 98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Will the Lions take Devontae Smith? Will he end up being like Barry Sanders or like Andre Ware?
How many wide receivers have they taken in the last 20 years?
Charles Rogers, Roy Williams.
They took three in a row.
The Megatron, and then they took Charles Rogers, who they took with the third pick of the draft. Megatron, whatever the hell his name is. They took
Calvin Johnson.
They took him with the third pick in the draft, or second pick in the draft, which Mel Kiper hated. Then they took Roy Williams, and they took another kid, but I can't remember who it is. I know Megatron might have been, I think, was the third that they took, but I might be mistaken. Mike Williams. Mike and Roy Williams, yes. Mike Williams was the kid that got hurt at USC who ran about a 5.240, and they said, bring him on in.
You talking just makes me think that the Detroit Lions should have been better than they ever were.
Those receivers were absolutely atrocious outside of Charles Rogers is one of the great busts in NFL history.
Right,
but I'm thinking of Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson together.
Yeah, unfortunately, you need 20 other players.
They took
Ndamukong Suh. I'm looking at it now. Ziggy Ansah
as well. I mean,
Eric Ebron, Taylor Decker, Ohio State.
Decker is a decent player, and Ebron just can't catch.
Yep. Hawkinson, tight end.
Yeah, that was
there.
A good pick.
And then Frank Ragnow.
Trenches.
Yep. Stafford playing how many playoff games? One.
They won one. They won one, and then there's
Dallas
the asterisk.
Game. And there was the Dallas game with the flag that got picked up.
Yeah, they're a terrible organization. Awful organization.
Who could forget Javid Best, running back, Cal?
That was end of the first round.
Yes, it was.
They, in fairness, when they fired Matt Millen, which took them about 85 years to fire him because, again, the Ford that was in charge of the team at the time was a recovering alcoholic that believed in, like, 85th chances. So Millen immediately got a job doing analysis for one of the networks that was carrying the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. We've played some of his clips.
And the network locally ran a scroll at the bottom that said this was a national NBC hire. We are not responsible for Matt Millen being on this station. They literally ran a scroll underneath him while he was talking during the whole broadcast.
I mean, there have been some pretty bad sportscasters, but Matt Millen, I'll never forget this. Dan, you want to pop me up, big guy? There we go. Let's see what we got.
Luck on second and nine in the flat, and you can see that hit coming. Ty Montgomery got his helmet knocked off by the hard-hitting Markell Martin.
Nice play. Nice hit. All clean. He's running right through that thing. And here he comes. Nah, that's not helmet to helmet. He hit him actually upper body. Well played. Markell Martin, you're going to watch. He's going to turn upfield, Montgomery. To watch.
Well, it looks helmet to helmet to me.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, you do. If you go 0-16 as a GM, what business do you have you talking about football again for money? You have no business. You're literally as bad at it as anyone could ever be. You could put me in charge of the Lions, and the worst I could go is 0-16, and I couldn't screw up the drafts any more than they screwed them up. In fact, I'd draft better. Because I wouldn't have drafted three receivers in a row, just for my own shame. I could go by Kiper's mock draft and be a better GM than Matt Millen. I could spend 364 days a year on an island, or you know 362 days on an island. Then spend the draft just perusing mock drafts and just take whoever they said and do better than Matt Millen. The idea that he got paid to talk about football is outstanding.
He did for a while.
Like, all the people that's played football and all the people that have coached football, get a high school coach who's funny and put him on, Matt Millen.
Remember when they asked him about Penn State after
all
that?
Oh, yeah, he was big denier.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
well, I didn't see anything. Well, of course, then. Of course. Of course. It's all fake.
Yeah, he was on Team Sandusky, wasn't he?
Oh, of course he was.
Yeah,
he's crying like a big baby everything else.
I forgot about that.
Stupid. Oh, did you? You spent 4 years there. I could see you getting real emotional about it, dum-dum. I just don't know how it happened. Oh, get out of here. You spent 4 years there 40 years ago, stupid. You so plugged in.
I don't know how it...
Well, it happened because you're never there. You don't work there, dum-dum. You're 60 years old. You went to college between the ages of 18 and 22. That'd be like me going, you know, Rollins, I got to tell you guys. I mean, really. I mean, I get the flyers in the mail, and they're the alumni newsletter, and I'll tell you what's going on there.
Well, I don't know how we transition from that to, let's do a story about an athlete doing tons of drugs. An Irish jockey named Adrian McCarthy was suspended for 6 months after testing for 1,000 times above the cocaine limit.
Hell yeah. That's like the there's an episode of There's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Mac or where Dennis becomes a male prostitute and Charlie starts hanging out in the stables with the jockeys. I won't ruin it. One of the great episodes of television of all time.
Do they party hard? Is that what jockeys are known for? Because this sounds intense.
Well, yeah, they're always on amphetamines. They got to weigh 2 pounds. Of course. They're taking amphetamines constantly.
He gave a reading of 150,000 nanograms per milliliter, with the threshold is usually at 150 grams.
I bet you he's, like, eating it. I bet you he's not even storing it no more. He's just, any way he could do it. Any orifice, just anything that could take it. A lot of pressure on those guys to make weight, man.
Sure.
Might as well have some fun doing it.
You're saying every entrance was open for business. That's what you're saying.
I don't know anything about cocaine. I've never done cocaine. I'm petrified of the next day. So I don't know any.
I've never heard of keistering coke,
yeah,
but sure.
There's a term for it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. I'm reading a book called Running the Light. And it's a book about a fiction book about a stand-up comedian. And there's a time he's considering doing that because his nose has been broken. And he's considering it, but instead he just puts it in his whiskey. So I actually just read that last night.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
really?
Glad I'm here.
But he never actually did it.
No, it's just a thought that goes through his head. It's not like a big part of the page. He goes, I considered blank blank, but then I just decided to put it in my drink.
Cokie string. Why not?
There's a term for it. I don't know what the term is off the top of my head. I'm sure you can get it tweeted to you.
I'm sure we'll find out. Godzilla versus Kong, finally out. Today is the day. Oh. And you know what? It's mornings like this morning that I realize just how many of kindred spirits, movie nerds, or comic book nerds I follow on Twitter. Because when I woke up and I do what I do, and I get up in the morning, I go sit on the can and I scroll through my Twitter timeline, there were people already up live tweeting the movie because apparently it went on HBO Max right around 2 a.m. this morning. Mm. Yes, and people are already in on it. You know, they
Who
have like
couldn't love King Kong and all the movies King Kong has been in? Well, there was King Kong, and then there was King Kong.
And then there was Kong, Revenge of Kong, and Skull Island. And
but there's someone,
John C. Reilly.
Samuel L. Jackson had one that was in one of those movies.
That's
right?
The one with John C. Reilly.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was actually a pretty good Kong movie. I did not mind
called
that one.
Pulp Fiction. He was in Pulp Fiction as well.
Yes,
yes, he was.
Yes,
correct.
Well. Right.
He was. You know, they have like the Snyder cut for the Justice League.
No.
I want a whatever cut for this movie, except instead of making it longer, just cut out every part with a human. All I want is the monkey and the dinosaur beating the snot out of each other. That's all I want to see. The rest of it, anytime they try to make like a human story where there's like real consequences, I don't care. Get to the good stuff. It's almost like that place in Utah that cuts out all the swearing. I want to cut out all non-fighting in this movie.
All I want to know is, how did Crash become a fan of Godzilla? Like, how do you become a fan of Godzilla? Like, when are you exposed to Godzilla? I understand, like, on Johnny Sacco and stuff, there was like Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know who that inspired.
We had the creature double feature here in the mornings on weekends.
Yeah, but you would watch that and go like, wow, this is something that I'm going to take with me for the rest of my life.
You asked how you would become exposed to it. That's the only way I can think of.
Fred, every market had a knockoff Elvira. I remember when I was in Chicago when I was a little kid.
We had
the Son of Svengoolie. Yeah, was what it was called.
Yeah, we had whatever. Yeah, like, yeah, we had the same thing. Everyone did.
And now Ernie Bach's trying to take those reins and run with it.
He was on TV a lot more than he is now when we were first moved here.
He was. He was.
He just had a commercial with Greg Hill that was for nothing. It was the two of them playing with the electric vibrating football game.
Okay.
And it was a commercial that literally was for nothing. It had no text in it. It was like Ernie and Greg hanging out, it said, like at the beginning. And then it was them just playing with that thing. And it was not for a product. I swear to God, it was fascinating. It would air like during football games.
Wasn't like during his car dealership, Unspoken type of thing?
No. Well, I mean, obviously, they announced that it was Ernie Bach and Greg Hill. So, I mean, you know Ernie Bach is a car dealer by trade. Right, but it didn't advertise any dealerships or give any information. And, I remember he handed us a DVD of his hosting television horror movies.
Yeah, so it's like, it's him doing that. I think he does, like, those horror movies around Halloween. And does he do the Stooges-thon, or is that the Andelmans?
They're one and the same. The Andelmans, to my knowledge. Because when I went to I've been to Ernie Bach Jr.'s house twice. And I think both times the Andelmans were broadcasting from his kitchen. And one time they had Cliff Clavin with them.
Ratzenberger was there?
He was. Huh. They somehow wrangled him.
Interesting.
I don't even know what the Andelmans are doing anymore. Are they still on TV?
I think they're back doing Phantom Gourmet. I think
Zolak says yes. I didn't know.
Because
they've
saw
got
Michael.
That drive-in that they've owned now.
Because I saw Michael at a basketball game. And he said, but I wasn't sure if they're still doing the television show. A lot has changed. The landscape has changed from when we first moved here. Because the first two people that you got introduced to were Ernie Bach Jr. and the Andelmans. Those were two of the, that had to get out of the way. I think even before we cracked the microphone, those two meetings took place.
Hmm. Okay. I've got now names of what keystring cocaine is referred to as. There's someone said booty bumping, a prison pocket, and Fleetwood enema.
No, none of those were used in the book. It was called boofing, I believe, if I do recall.
All right.
Okay.
I'll tell you, not drinking has really got to improve my memory. The idea that I just came up with boofing. Maybe I just interpreted it as that, and that's not what it is. But if your nose is broken and you ended up ingesting it through your mouth.
Oh. Boofing, the act of inserting drugs into your rear end for a much stronger trip.
Was it the Teen Wolf's girlfriend named Boof?
Yes.
It was?
That
was
interesting.
That was a nod to the excesses of the early 80s.
Yeah.
I watched that movie with my kids.
Yeah.
It's not good. At all. All right. You know, a lot of movies aren't very good. All right. That'll do it for us. Tomorrow on the show, more Brookline 911. Danny Ainge. The Bankroll Boys and Gary Goldman. I'll tell you, the show's already done.
Nice.
That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.